You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Pacers fans, happy new year, happy 2019. I'm glad you guys are listening on the first day of the year or whenever you're listening, but this will be out the first day of the year. Welcome into the first ever 2019 Locked On Pacers podcast, where we're going to talk about last night's game against the Atlanta Hawks and some injuries happening to key players, as well as Victor Oladipo's ever-changing role on the team. As always, I'm one of the hosts of the show, Tony East with the West Indianapolis Community News and doing stuff over at 8.9 Seconds. And let's talk about the game. It was a good game. The Pacers won 116-108 against Atlanta, and they were up by a lot more in the fourth. I don't know exactly how much they were up in the fourth, but they lost the fourth by 8 points. Their biggest lead was 17, and they only won by 8, and I think their biggest lead was at the end of the third at 17 points. So they kind of looked like they were giving it away. They were only up 6, I think 114-108 at one point with 2 minutes to go. Hawks had the ball, but then they missed two or three threes on that one possession, and then Vic hit some free throws, and we were done. But it was a really interesting game end-to-end, a lot of Pacers contributing in traditional ways that make this team so good. First of all, Victor Oladipo had 22-7 and was a plus 9. This is the guy that was an all-star last year. And it wasn't just the stats. In the first quarters, the first time I noticed it, he caught the ball on a rebound, like 90 feet from the rim, and just, boom, took off down the floor, huge burst, and was beat like two or three Pacers at the floor. The Hawks had everybody back. They had some interesting rebounding strategies, but Victor pulled up a three, and he missed it, but the burst he showed flying up the court was like, it wasn't like absent in other games. It just was more intense in this game, and it kind of looked like he was, you know, more energetic and fast, and he was good. And you know, I think that's a big part of it. Maybe he's getting more healthy, or you know, it was just his day or something. But yeah, he looked awesome and healthier, and that's always encouraging to see for a guy who missed so much time, and then also has looked different, which I'll talk about later when he is playing. Sabonis and Turner had the same stat line. So this is I wish Adam were on vacation so we could talk about, because we do the, I swear we talk about the Turner Sabonis stuff all the time. Today there's nothing to say. They both had 20-8. They both were really good. Turner had 9 shots. Sabonis had 12. But Turner's defense was amazing. Turner was a team high plus 16 before. I'll talk about the injuries in the next segment. More specifically, but before going down with his ankle injury, which was unfortunate. I'm sorry, Doug McDermott had an ankle injury. Miles Turner broke his nose, which is the injury he went down with. John Collins got him in the face, which is a bummer. He was bleeding everywhere and had to come out. Apparently, he'll be wearing a mask. Victor Oladipo said something to the effect of, like, the mask has power. So now we're going to see masked Miles Turner. But he was having a very good game, shooting the three well, getting to the line, playing amazing defense. He had 4 blocks. He just was the whole package in this one, and then Sabonis as well, like I just mentioned, 20 points, 8 rebounds himself, and he was doing a good job in the pick and roll, as always. He was finishing well around the basket. The Hawks have no rim protectors at all. The Pacers once again feasted on getting to the rim. They had 29 free throws. Sabonis' only problem was he only quote, unquote, played 27 minutes, so you'd think he'd be spry, but he played a ton in a row in the second half because of the injury to Turner. So he was kind of tired, and the Hawks really went at him and got like a dunk party going in the fourth quarter, which was unfortunate, but the Pacers hung on to win, so it doesn't really matter retrospectively, and he probably won't be playing that big of minutes again. I'm so kind of surprised they didn't dig up Kyle O'Quinn for 2 or 3 minutes in there, but it is what it is. I'll go to McDermott now because he got hurt and was not playing super hot before he went down. McDermott finished 1 of 7 from the field and then had 2 or 3 possessions, actually, where he was limping before the Pacers finally called timeout to take him out of the game. But he tweaked his ankle. They're calling it a sprained ankle. You never really know with ankle stuff until they actually finally announce it. But yeah, not McDermott's greatest game, going 1 for 7 from the field. He was a -4 in a win. You know, that's always the stuff you hate to see. But 2 assists, including a nice pass to Bojan, which 2 assists might honestly be his season high. He doesn't pass a whole ton. because he's a play finisher. And they said this on the broadcast, and I almost couldn't believe it, so I had to look. But they talked about his home-road shooting splits. McDermott on the road is shooting 53.8% from the field, 50% from three, and 91.3% from the free throw line. At home, 45% from the field, 32% from three, and 71% from the free throw line. His true shooting at home is 55.5%, on the road, 72%. So, yeah, something funky going on there where he is just scorched earth, impossible to stop shooting on the road. And at home, it's just like a pretty, a little bit, very, very slightly over average efficiency dude. But yeah, hopefully he gets better too. They have they don't play again until Friday, so perhaps they'll have enough time for both of those guys to heal and play. Tyreek Evans rolled on, keeping his streak of not bad play alive, which is all you can ask of him at this point, given how terrible he was for a long time there. 10 points, 2 assists, only 1 turnover. But he just looks more decisive, and it shifts the D more when he's not just stopping the possessions and stopping the ball. And I enjoyed that. So 18 minutes of not bad basketball from Tyreek is good, and now you can continue to play him and have a reason for it. No one else really did anything crazy to like go over and review. Thaddeus Young kind of did, though, so I'll do him, even though I just said nobody did. Thaddeus Young's defense was unbelievable. He was flying, it always is, but he was just flying around doing crazy things. Pretty much everyone playing the backup four position for Atlanta did not have a good shooting game. In fact, they only shot 43% as a team. So, I mean, it's just Thad being Thad at this point. He might be the best defender on this team, even though they had an first-team all-defense guy. No, I'm sorry. That's not true at all. He's the best perimeter defender on this team is what I meant to say. There it is. He just does so many good things on the perimeter, and the fact that he can still hold his own on the inside makes him so valuable. People throw this term around way, way, way too much when evaluating players, but I think Thad Young really is the Swiss Army knife of NBA players. And then Corey Joseph came in and made life hell for Trae Young. Trae Young started off shooting really well, and he still shot pretty good for the game, 6 of 10, 4 of 6 from 3. But Corey Joseph just really got up in his grill and made him uncomfortable. And Trae Young, for all his good stats, 16 points on 60% shooting and 7 assists, had 8 turnovers. And a lot of that was thanks to the spectacular defense that you get from Corey Joseph night in and night out. So great win for the Pacers to close out 2018. They close out the month just ridiculous, 12-3, plus 157 scoring on the month, with those three losses coming by a combined 5 points. They were just amazing in this month. They were really good in this game before Turner's injury, and they had to play Sabonis for such an extended period of time. Again, not a dig on Sabonis. It's hard to play high-level basketball for a ton of minutes in a row. But it's just great to get the win and walk into 2019 at 25-12. That's crazy. I don't think they got their 25th win until around the start of February last year, so they're ahead of schedule on the success. January schedule is a little tougher, so we'll see what happens. But yeah, I think they'll be okay. They're playing really well. Let's talk about these injuries. I'll take a quick break and get back to it, but this it won't be super long because I don't think either of them are that severe. So yeah, just 1 second. We'll be right back. So there's been really not a ton of information about Doug McDermott's injury, which is kind of unfortunate because I'm actually concerned about him. He is a pretty good, like, the difference between the offensive rating with him on and off is pretty high. He actually does have a big impact on the offense for the second unit. You know, it's not just his scoring. It's like the spacing and team switch off ball for him and stuff like that. But he just tweaked his ankle and, like, he was kind of limping around. And then when they called the timeout to get him out, he walked like normal to the huddle, and they were up by like 15 or something at that point. So it didn't seem like a big deal to have him just go to the locker room and look at it. And they called it a sprained ankle, I think the team did. I need to look. I'm on Scott Agnes's Twitter to get all the info on Turner. But I think he'll be okay. I think it's a bigger deal than people would like to admit. I mean, McDermott doesn't blow you away, like I just said, with his scoring average or anything like that, but you know, his offensive rating is really good, and he's a really good basketball player in terms of that. Like, I'm tripping over a bunch of words here. Like, I want to say that spacing is almost shot creation, right? Because you're helping others get better shots. So he is a creator in that way. I almost didn't say that because that's kind of a convoluted thing to say. But, McDermott's injury could be bad, but I think he'll be okay given that he walked off just fine. Maybe he'll be questionable or miss just one game. But it's a bummer to see the big injury, big being like it could actually have some long-term effects because it might be a concussion or something like that. It's Turner's broken nose. He got hit by John Collins under the basket. And he is being, according to Scott Agnes, re-evaluated today, and he'll be fitted for a mask, which is encouraging because if you're being fitted for a mask, that usually means you're able to go. But I'm not sure. McMillan said that they're just hoping he doesn't have a concussion once he's re-evaluated. I'm sure we'll know more about that, and that will give us the clarity we need to know if he can be good to go Friday or just soon into the week next week. He was playing so well, and Turner apparently was frustrated that he broke his nose at this time, but he hasn't had a concussion in over a year, and he said, I don't know if he told Scott this or if Scott remembers, but Scott tweeted, tomorrow, which is today now, if you're listening, we'll be telling. The last time Turner had a concussion, he didn't feel it till the next day, so we'll see if Turner's feeling anything today, if he'll actually miss some time. And, you know, he was playing so well and making this team click so much that an injury like this could, you know, besides giving Sabonis really big time, and that would be huge because, I mean, he's clearly a very good player, could have some long-term ramifications on this team. So we'll have to see how this shakes out. Both guys' injuries are not good, and it's tough that they came during such a good game because you'd like to see them just play these games out no problem and walk away with a win. But unfortunately, walk away with a win with, like, good storylines. But unfortunately, that didn't happen. Thankfully, though, neither of them looked so severe. I'd imagine we'll have both back, mid-month at latest, which is encouraging. And in Turner's case, you know, he's clearly much better than O'Quinn. But, like, you know, the drop between him and Sabonis isn't crazy. The drop between Sabonis and O'Quinn is what it is. But they're not going to get killed at center with him out. Whereas with McDermott, they, like, don't have a backup three. I'd imagine if McDermott is really out for some time, Tyreek moves up to the three, and then you go with Aaron Holiday and Corey Joseph as the second unit guards. Maybe they'll spark some with that three-guard lineup on the second unit. Who knows? But just keep an eye on those. I think they'll both be pretty good to go, but Adam will laugh at me because I am notoriously terrible at predicting injuries for players. So be prepared to make fun of me. But let's move on to one more thing I want to talk about, which is the changing role of Victor Oladipo since returning from his injury. And I'm going to bury the lead right now and say I don't think that what some people think about this. So stay tuned and you'll hear what I mean about that. So I keep hearing, maybe not hearing, but I've heard rumblings of Vic's role is different. He looks like a different player. And the rumblings that people are saying about it is that this was kind of premeditated. It's not an injury thing. You know, at first you could have pinned it on injuries, but now it's been, whatever, 10 games, 9 games, I think. And it's still the same. They're not really, like, bringing him back up to where he used to be. I think what I keep hearing is that this is what the team wants. I have all these stats and I can't get them in front of me, so I'm frustrated about that. But I don't think that's the case. I still think it's injury-related. Maybe that isn't a hot take, but it seems like people were drifting towards the other take. So I will stick to my I think it's injury-related and he's easing back in thing because, you know, tonight with the burst, he was back to 22-7 and he's been great. And he just talked about with Mark Monteith his big thing of, like, he's been seeing different coverages and it's been forcing him to be more of a passer, which he has been. His assist rate's way up. His assist to usage rate is up. He's just doing better things in that way, which has been good. And everyone else is playing so well that it makes sense that his role would change. But at the same time, it's like they need a clutch guy. And they need this guy who can just get you a bucket whenever. So I think not having him playing that bucket getting aggressive role, isn't as great. So I think it's mostly that he's easing back in from injury, and I will just pull up my own tweet from way earlier today, but it'll take forever to get. But I remember some of the numbers, so I'll start spewing. His usage went from 31% to 24% from pre to post injury. A lot of these from one stat to another will be pre-injury to post. And that's not like, that's fine. 25 is still a lot. Like 20% is like you're a really good player. 25% is like you're an all-star. So he's approaching that 25% number, and his pre-injury number was huge. That's higher than Paul George ever had in India. That's crazy high because PG had less help than Vic does now. But his assist numbers are up from 4.7 per game pre-injury to before this Hawks game, 6.7. But now it's probably right at 7 because he had 7 again. So maybe his role is like a tiny bit different, but that's not necessarily like the Pacers saying, don't be yourself. I think it's just the other teams are covering him in a way that mandates he passes more. And it's not like he's getting double teamed, but he's getting a lot of drop coverages and like blitzed out of pick and rolls. Like guys are trying to get him to pass the ball after he turns the corner on a screen. But now you have, you know, Turner shooting lights out from three. He just shot 50% for the whole month. You have Sabonis as like one of the best role men in the NBA. You have Bojan and McDermott hitting everything from the outside, except for McDermott at home, which I just talked about. And you have, you know, Tyreek's finally putting it together. I know that wasn't necessarily true for all of his run, but still he's doing good. Darren Collison sneakily having a pretty good stretch of play here. And Corey Joseph having a career shooting the ball from the outside. It's like he has the weapons to make the passes, so you know, put literally all that together. Like, I just named every player outside of Thad giving him something to pass to on the roster, and Thad even has those duck-ins. Like, he just has options to beat these reads, and he's making the right ones. You know, I don't feel like he's forcing anything or doing anything crazy with turnovers. In this game, only one turnover against the Hawks. You know, he's just making the right play or, like, the extra play that sets up the right play. And then, you know, he runs out to the corner, and that takes a defender with him. And now that the defense blitz, they're scrambling, and bam, they get a bucket. Like, that's not – I don't – like, it sounds like a changed role to say he's passing more than he's used to doing, or he's deferring out of pick-and-roll situations more than he's used to doing. But it's not – to me, it's that the coverages are different, and because he doesn't have the same burst to get by the dudes, he's just deferring more. And I think when he gets that burst back, which we saw it a little today, and lo and behold, he had 22 points, he'll just blow by drop coverage, which he did a few times. Alex Len is like a revolving door playing defense. And he'll be back to normal on the scoring. Blitz coverage will obviously still give him fits, but the fact that he's got his assists up over two a game should give you all the indication you need that he's at least a little bit better at handling those double teams and those guys running at him. So a lot of, I think, honestly, his role post-injury being different is encouraging. Even if it is standing under my theory that it's just injury-related, the fact that we know he can do this if teams really are trying to shut him down so much, both in the regular season and in the postseason, that's really good for the team going forward if he can play like this. Especially, you know, if you can get 22 and 7 out of a guy who's getting double teamed every possession, and you can score 116 with a team that's built on scoring thanks to their defense, that's huge. So maybe it is a role change. I don't really think it is. And I think pretty soon you'll see that it's not. But who knows? I just think it's worth talking about because it's been like this for a while. And McMillan, when I asked him about it after the Detroit game last week, seemed to think also that it's just coverage changes. So yeah, it's been awesome to see Vic do so well despite not being able to play the way he's used to. Thank you guys for tuning in all last year and starting off this year whenever day you're listening to this, but it came on New Year's Day. I hope 2019 brings you everything you were looking for, both in Pacerland and in your own life. Thank you for listening to today's episode of Locked On Pacers, and we'll see you tomorrow.